This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Let's focus on this now. The Commission for the Promotion and Protection of the Rights of Cultural, Religious and Linguistic Communities have briefed the media on urgent basis. They wanted to address what they're calling persistent challenges about the deaths, amputations, violence and other related incidents that continue to undermine the safety and dignity of initiates. The Commission says undeniably these challenges continue to raise concerns regarding the safety and protection of initiates, and that the latest provincial and national statistics relating to these challenges were important to be shared to the public. We are then speaking to the Commission around this. We're speaking to Mr. George Matlangu, who is the Deputy Chairperson. Mr. Matlangu, good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and to all your listeners.
Good evening. Thank you very much for your time. What are the key issues that you wanted to brief the public urgently about?
I think we wanted to... First of all, let me send our deepest condolences to the families that have lost yet again their loved ones during this winter season. We have been walking this path with all stakeholders in the past year, just to ensure that we give the support that is necessary as the Commission to ensuring safe customary initiation. We then, at our plenary in May, took a resolution that as the Commission, we are mandated to protect and promote culture. And in this case, safe customary initiation is paramount. And we decided that we need to use our legislation to establish a Section 7 committee. Which gives us the powers to investigate, to invite people to the hearings, to deal with the various issues that affect our provinces with respect to initiation schools. So this Section 7 will then be looking into the details that result in this perpetual fatalities that we experience. Amongst others, we will invite stakeholders to come and give evidence, and we will then be in a position to issue recommendations that will have to be implemented if we are to find long-lasting solutions. We are also aware that there are other issues that are worrying us, specifically if you look at the death statistics this season. Mpumalanga province is at the top of the list, and this is a province that has been improving over the last 5 years. Why this regression? What are the fundamental issues that are resulting in this? Is it the execution of and the implementation of the law as it stands? We are saying we need to dig deeper. If a person was arrested 2-3 years ago, where is that person now? Where is that process? Have they been, have they gone through the court process? Have they been charged and sent to jail as per the Act? The Act has a provision, Section 33, which provides all the different sentences for the violations around the Act. So we need to now stand up and say, let's look at what is it that makes this so difficult in terms of the execution of the current legislation.
All right, it's 9 minutes before seven. You're on Capricorn Talk. We're speaking to the Commission for the Promotion and Protection of the Rights of Cultural, Religious and Linguistic Communities. Mr. George Matlangu is the Deputy Chairperson. They had a briefing earlier today, outlined a number of issues that we've already gone through with Mr. Matlangu. Mr. Matlangu, just to go back on some of the issues that you were mentioning, and in terms of the deaths that are recorded annually, are you able to, because I see in your statement you spoke about sharing the statistics with the public, what are the stats like, comparatively speaking, and how far back do you go in making the comparison?
We have the current 2026 winter season statistics, which are public knowledge now. 18 in Mpumalanga, 14 in the Eastern Cape, Northwest 4, Limpopo 3, Gauteng 2, Free State 2. So this is the current stats. But what we are saying is that we need to go back to perhaps 2021, when the Act was put in place, and say what has happened over the years since the legislation was put in place. What has happened that has resulted, one, in improving the situation, two, are there any shortcomings in the implementation of the Act, for instance? Is there sufficient resources that have been placed for the successful implementation of the Act? Also, one of the things that we need to look into is the shortcomings of the Act. Does the Act make provision for practitioners of this culture to be able to perform their authentic culture? Mm. I'll give an example of one of the shortcomings, for instance, is the issue of age. Mm. In Limpopo, it is culturally authentic that a boy as young as 12 can go to initiation, but the Act says that cannot happen. So what are the issues that affect communities from practicing their authentic culture? But I can tell you that we have stats for that runs over the last 10 years of initiation for both winter season as well as summer season. Mm. And out of that, we need to look at the hot spots that have always resulted in the fatalities. We need to look at what are the causes, because the causes are not the same across the provinces. Mm. In the Eastern Cape, for instance, one of the major causes is dehydration. Mm. But you don't have that in Limpopo. You don't have that in Mpumalanga. You don't have that in Gauteng.
So what are the major causes in Limpopo?
I think it's mainly Limpopo. Actually, is one of the provinces with the best practice. And so one of the challenges that we experienced a few years ago was in the Baphala Borwa community, which had long not done this practice, and they decided to reinstate it. And it resulted in a lot of challenges.
There was actually a fire that broke out there in the Baphala Borwa situation. But my question was, in you are saying in the Eastern Cape, dehydration is the cause. There have been deaths here. What has been generally the cause? You said you have had stats that go back 10 years. In that time, what has been generally the cause?
I think the causes would vary from, amongst other things, just instances of illegal initiation schools, and that would then run bogus schools. And particularly in the areas that are in the provincial boundaries, where you have the boundary between Limpopo and Gauteng, as well as the boundary between Mpumalanga and Gauteng, where you would have these incidents happening that result in the loss of initiates.
These stats that you have you had an opportunity to work out the numbers, to work out what they say, or it's data that is raw now that you just have but has not been worked out?
It is data that is raw that we need to interrogate, that we need to call people to come and explain to us, so that we can unpack what is in this data. So that is the exercise that this Section 7 affords us an opportunity to do.
So the cause of your concerns, it's not necessarily, comparatively speaking, stats. It could easily be stats of this year that you have, but you have not worked out the raw data. Therefore, it's not comparing them that has brought the concerns.
The concern is every death matters. Okay, every death matters. And what we need to do is to find the root causes, whether it is because of the legislation that is not being implemented or that is not being followed, is not being carried out, and then be in a position to say This is the root cause of waiting. I'll give an example. Over the last 10 years, for instance, the KZN province, which does have initiation, albeit a very small number of people, in the last 10 years has only got one fatality. Limpopo, on the other hand, has 17 over the last 10 years. So we need to look at these provinces that have low prevalence and say, what is it that they are doing within the constraints of the Act that we can elevate and say, this is what other provinces need.
Even as you make that comparison, you say yourself, KZN has relatively very few. And then you compare it with Limpopo that has an initiation season every other year. And that's why I was saying, and I wanted to understand this, if the data is not what prompts you, because, yes, I don't think anyone will argue with you, one death is one too many. But outside that fact, are there other facts that prompts you to say, listen, this situation warrants a Section 7 investigation? It's 7 o'clock in Capricorn Talk. We're speaking to Mr. George Matlangu, Deputy Chairperson of the CRL Rights Commission. They want to institute a Section 7 investigation into concerns around initiation schools, where there are deaths, amputations, violence, and other related incidents. And perhaps, Mr. Matlangu, let me not overstress that question that I put on the data. I was simply saying, from what you're telling me, it's the data is raw, the data needs to be worked out, it's not what's prompting you. It is what will help you perhaps to get to a conclusion. When you talk about violence, what are the issues that has been raised with you around that?
There's gangsterism that takes place at initiation schools. There's a huge level of abductions that take place, which result in violence, because then it puts communities in conflict, where a parent has not sanctioned that their child go to initiation school, find themselves having to then pay fees to get their child back. We have a situation in Limpopo area this year in Cyprus, which has resulted in an altercation between the police, the PICC, as well as the communities around that area. But the point, if I can just go back to data issue, because I think perhaps we need to stress that we need to be scientific in our approach. So I agree fully with you. Part of this analysis of this raw data will involve being able to compare between, reasonably provinces that are reasonably sized. If you take, for instance, the Eastern Cape and Limpopo, you have a similar number of initiates that undergo initiation every year. So we can do that comparative study to see what are the nuances that make a difference. Why does the Eastern Cape have an issue with dehydration and Limpopo doesn't? You know, it's all these things that I think, until such time that we are able to correlate this data in a scientific way, in a way that it is information, that it becomes information that can be utilized to support the respective provinces in terms of dealing with their issue. And that is why we are saying that we need to look at everything. But the difficulty with initiation is you can't look at data simply by using it as a comparative study, because here you are dealing with the death of young people. So you need to take absolutistics in certain instances where you say, okay, what caused this specific death? Was all the necessary steps taken by the PICCs, by the oversight bodies to ensure that they arrest and the perpetrator goes through court and is then eventually jailed? Because the risk is you will have next season the same perpetrator being issued with a permit to conduct initiation, and that defeats the purpose. So what is the speed with which the other players are doing their part of the work?
And my reason on the violence is, well, look, firstly, I don't know that what parents expect when they send their initiation schools, their children to initiation schools around violence. It's notorious for being an area where one's courage is tested in extremes. So I don't know that your viewpoint of what do parents have in their minds when they send children to initiation school and this cultural aspect interface. But however, it may very well be the reason that an investigation is welcomed by some, that there is a sense there is a lack of accountability on, say, deaths that happen at initiation schools, whether there are good explanations that are given to what happened to this child, what happened to this person and that person. But as I'm saying, the violence aspect is intriguing as to how you're going to go about that. So it'll be intriguing to find out, because there's an element of secrecy that goes with it.
I think you are referring to inside the initiation school. Is that what you are referring
yes.
to, if I can?
Yes.
Of course, we can't discuss what happens inside the initiation school, but let me give you an example.
Mm.
You know, it is my son and your son that will never be harmed at initiation school, because I took my son to initiation school in 2017,
mm.
and I took leave from work
mm.
to ensure that I personally oversee this rite of passage that my son is undertaking, and I plan for it. It's not mm. something that I woke up one morning and I took my son there. So
mm.
I think that it's not a true assumption to say that a parent would take their child in a violent...
But what necessitated you to take the leave, Mr. Malanko?
No, I'm
Why
saying,
did you think you need to do it yourself?
Okay. Remember I talked about cultural authenticity. That's
yes.
what my father did.
Yeah.
That's what his father did.
Mm.
That's what, in fact, you know, the whole process starts with ukuzila.
Mm.
Ukuzila, there's a period before initiation that we are zila.
Yeah.
So that you know that you are ready to undertake this important
yeah.
Customary practice, you know. So I'm saying, I'm simply doing what my father did to me. So
but then again, Mr. Masango, me and you would agree. Very few parents can afford to actually take leave to go and see through the rite of passage. In the places, there are actually parents who actually need to borrow money for a child to go through the rite of passage.
Then my
yeah.
argument is,
yeah.
my argument is,
mm.
In every community,
mm.
you will always take your child to a place that you have experience of. If you're a parent, you don't just wake up and say, no, I'm taking my child to an unknown person who is running an initiation school. No, it doesn't happen that way. You will always take him to an initiation school that you know, that you have links with when it was you or with other family members that have been there. And the caregiver that you will allocate or that is allocated to your child
mm.
would be someone that you properly have assessed and know. So I'm saying that it is just those specific issues that parents
yeah.
need to, even if you are not working, in
mm.
my... In my understanding of this customary initiation is that even if you're an orphan
mm.
or you don't have a father, there will always be someone that is designated to play the role of the father from within the family, your uncles and so on and so on, that will see you through this passage. You cannot take it through alone. And
so,
that is the argument
yeah.
that I think as we make, we
yeah.
need to perhaps re-educate our communities to say that you don't just send your child there and say, which is unfortunately even some of the things that happen in normal schools.
Yeah.
In normal, ordinary schools, that the parent says, no, the teacher will discipline, will do everything for my mm. child and leave it there. That is what we need to bring back in our societies. And part of this exercise is to look
yeah.
at what is the veracity of that argument, including that argument where you say there's violence. you know.
But you see, Mr. Matlang, that as I said, perhaps the investigation will be welcomed. Hopefully it's able to get to those areas. Because, you see, there is a female single parent, and there are a lot of them, that send children there, and then they find a caregiver who they pay to go and take care of the child. So the experiences vary depending on societies. In Limpopo, I can assure you, so when you say to me, you take a child to a place you've experienced, no, that's not the same for a single parent female who needs to find somebody. But there are regulations now that says you cannot kidnap. Imagine when people used to simply kidnap your child and then you get into trouble. You need to find your way around it. Hence, I'm saying perhaps the investigation will assist in answering some of the gray areas. But the experiences I'm gathering as we speak vary. And perhaps what prompts the commission at the end is likely to answer
perhaps,
those matters.
Perhaps I can give you a simple example of our experience in Gauteng.
Mm.
And Gauteng is a melting pot of different practices, right? But in Gauteng, in 2017, the commission undertook a similar investigation, and because there was no legislation at the time, it resulted in the suspension of initiation or the recommendation that was made was that in the Sidibeng area, which is the Vaal, initiation should be suspended until certain actions were taken by the municipalities, the province, and the practitioner. So it resulted in the reduction in gangsterism, in bogus initiation school. For a period of time, Gauteng seemed to be, the situation in that particular area of Gauteng seemed to have been under control. But what we are seeing now is a regression. Okay, we've now gone back to an even worse situation in Gauteng. So part of our investigation would be to say, what has happened? Why are we here when we have legislation?
All right.
You know? So it will be very thorough, it will be deep, and we will periodically share with the media some of our findings. We're not going to wait for the end of the investigations. We will do them in a phased-out form so that when we are done with Gauteng, we then share with the media what we have unearthed. But we need everybody. I truly, truly, truly welcome your probing questions, because we need the media to also ask the right questions and say, what is the police doing? What is the NPA doing? What is these things? You know, just take a sample, take a case study, one death, for instance, that you can follow up and trace and track, because that would be valuable information to see if the system is working.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much for your time, Mr. Matlango. Wonderful evening to you.
Good evening to you and your listeners.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.